This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and oh boy, here's what we got. I'm going to talk about political naivete. Are you really that naive? I don't think so. 46-year-old dude looking for a dime. Some dude wants some radio advice. I have to play this real quick first before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Paul Ryan's out there still on the news talking for some reason. He said this.
He's fading fast. He's a proven.
He's talking about Donald Trump, by the way.
He's fading fast. He's a proven loser. He cost us the House in 18. He cost us the White House in 20. He cost us the Senate again and again. And I think we all know that. And I think we're moving past Trump. I really think that's the case. I can't imagine him getting the nomination, frankly. And I don't mean this because I don't want him to get the nomination. I just don't think he will as an analytical point.
This is what people hate. This is what people really, really hate is when the super smart guys, the guys who are in the know, when they declare, always trying to declare somebody to be done, no matter what the will of the people say. Let's rewind real quick. Speaking of Trump, back in his first primary in 2016, when he came out of nowhere and Donald Trump was this phenom, I was hardcore Ted Cruz guy, hardcore against Donald Trump. So I thought he'd govern like a Democrat. And eventually Ted Cruz goes down and Donald Trump is essentially the nominee. But he hasn't gone to the convention yet where the official nomination process takes place. And I want you to keep in mind, this is a time where I still hated Donald Trump. I hadn't grown to like the guy yet. I remember very clearly all the super smart people out there trying to say, "What? We don't have to nominate him at the convention. We'll pull some rules stuff and go against him at the convention." And at a time when I despise Trump, I couldn't have been louder about that, saying, the people already spoke. The people spoke, and they decided they wanted Donald Trump to be the nominee. Who are you people who think you speak for the people? Paul Ryan declaring he's done? He keeps doing this. Now, maybe he is done. I've been very vocal about the mistakes, the huge ones Trump has made. I'm fine with talking about that. The great things he's done, the mistakes he's made, I'm fine with talking about that. But you'll never hear me come on before the people have a chance to decide and say, it's over. It's time. We're going to move on. Everyone's moving on. Well, that's not true. If you polled Republicans today, he's probably still the most popular Republican in the country. If not, it's neck and neck with him and Heavy D. Shouldn't the people decide? No more Paul Ryans? No more this host or this guy or this congressman or this senator deciding. Shouldn't the people decide? I can't stand that, man. I can't stand it. I got this one actually along those lines. Hey, Jesse, honest question from a learning but politically naive soul. It seems like a great thing that the House of Representatives is passing all these bills and forming all these committees, yet it feels like it's all for show. With the Senate and presidency in the left's control for 2 more years, do these past bills and committees have any chance of enacting real, meaningful change in our country? Or is it creating momentum for a true shift in the Republican Party? I don't think you're that naive. One, just for show is probably not accurate. Are most of them for show? Of course. But here's the advantage in passing these things. And I'm well aware of the low-T GOP. Last time they passed all these things that were going to get vetoed, finally got enough power and then promptly passed none of them. I'm aware of that. But here's the advantage. When you're a Democrat in America today It means that you're a full-blown communist. That's what it means. I don't care if that offends you, if you're one of these longtime Democrats. Your party is not what it used to be. You are insane communists now. You are. You're a nut job. And because communism is so unpopular and always has been unpopular everywhere, what do you rely on? You rely on lies being told on your behalf about everything. You need constant lies, not just from your side. You need lie. You need the media to lie for you. You need Hollywood actors to lie for you. You need lies and lies and lies and lies and lies. Because if even a tiny amount of truth comes out about the things you actually want, you look terrible. That's why the whole evil ideology, the whole evil religion is based on lies. It has to be. You can't tell the truth when you want to kill a bunch of people. It doesn't work. So forcing them to expose who and what they are, there's real value in that. You'll hear a bunch of sissies on our side who don't believe in standing up for anything. They'll use issues like abortion's a great one. They'll use issues like abortion because there's a lot of pro-abortion Republicans. Maybe you are, but just hang with me for a second if that's you. When they see things like the House passing a, you know, post-abortion, failed abortion bill, which essentially means if you attempt to have an abortion and the baby comes out and the baby's still alive, okay, that abortion failed. You have to administer medical care to that baby. It's alive. You have to administer medical care for that baby. Almost everyone kind of agrees with that. Doesn't matter where you stand on it. Virtually every single Democrat in the House of Representatives voted against it. So is that bill going to go anywhere in the Senate? No. And even if it did, Biden would just veto it right away. That bill's not going to go anywhere. But what you just did was, you prevented these people from getting cover from lies. You forced them to expose just how insane they are. There is value in that. Are all these things for show now? Firing IRS agents and all that? Yeah, of course they are. Of course they're all for show. But maybe, just maybe, the low-T GOP will wake up and realize the public actually wants them to be bold and take bold steps sometimes. Quit licking your finger and sticking it in the air and just go try to do the right thing now and then. Fellas, Chalk is still selling Male Vitality Stack subscriptions. If you're feeling like, well, maybe we should wait till after the next election, or if you're a Republican and you've ever said the words, this isn't the hill to die on, because that's the GOP motto, that's how you know. That's your self-test. You know we're big on self-tests? If you've ever said, this isn't the hill to die on, you know you need to get on a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. Don't have to worry about big pharma. It's all natural herbal supplements. The hardcore anti-communists at Chalk got themselves kicked off of Instagram at one point in time because they were so hardcore against the COVID restrictions. That's how hardcore these guys are. They're out there. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. So again, just quick self-test. If you've ever said, this isn't the hill to die on, you need to get to chalk.com now and get a male vitality stack quickly. You're killing us. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off. Ladies, female vitality stack. All right? Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Oracle. I've been a stand-up comedian for over 30 years. The industry was suffering before COVID, but the response to the bat stew flu was a kick in the throat to most comedy clubs, especially clubs in blue areas. I didn't know conservative talk show hosts could be funny until I heard you on the radio. Thanks to you, I reached out to a nearby radio station and snagged a show of my own. How about that? It's 1 hour a week, one day a week. In February, I'm going Monday through Friday, 1 hour per day. First, I wanted to thank you for the inspiration. Second, do you have any advice on how to fill an hour per day? I know the advice Michael Berry gave you, no calls at first, and this is a brilliant lesson. What advice can you give to newbies like myself? Thank you, and please don't use my name, and I will not. And maybe this applies to you. Maybe you're thinking about getting some podcast equipment and doing a little recording, putting something out there on YouTube or Rumble or just a podcast on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes, where you can find the Jesse Kelly Show, by the way. And I want to once again encourage you if that's something you want to do. Oh, there's a tons of podcasts. Yeah, there are. There's tons of them. Most of them suck. Maybe you're the interesting one. Have you noticed something? Does this show sound like all the other shows? That's right, it doesn't. But have you noticed so many shows, not all of them, but how many shows just all kind of sound the same? They're all doing the same thing. You got to bend over backwards to find a fart sound out there. In all seriousness, everyone sounds the same. So my advice to you, I'm going to echo the advice my mentor, Michael Berry, gave to me. No phone calls, no guests for 6 months to a year. Why? You're going to be boring at first while you figure out who you are or how to do your show. You'll never get unboring if your show starts to rely on callers and guests. You figure out how to sit down behind a microphone and entertain. Be interesting. Two, turn off every other show, including mine. I know I'm not supposed to tell people that. You got to listen to every minute. If you're starting your own show and you still consume other shows, you watch them on TV, you listen on the radio, you will inevitably, as human nature, start to mimic someone else's opinions, someone else's thoughts, instead of forming your own. Then you're not unique anymore. Then you're just me. Then you're a junior version of me. Well, you can't be me. I can't be you. You got to go be you. Turn off everything else. I listen to nobody anymore. Nobody. No, all I consume is history and comedy and stuff. No more conservative stuff ever. I don't watch anything ever unless I'm on it. I don't watch it. I don't do it. You go be you. And lastly, be yourself. And don't be too hard on yourself when you suck. Because, man, you're going to suck bad in the beginning. It will not last. It's an awkward thing to sit down and talk to yourself for a while. You'll get better. All right? And I have one final piece of advice, probably the best one I ever got. You ready for this? I'll tell you in a second.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, reminding you you can email the show during the show. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We're live here. We take the questions live, too. We also take your love, your hate, your death threats, and everything else. One final bit of advice if you're thinking about starting a podcast or you're starting a radio show. And this is the bit of advice that probably changed my life. Probably more than any other. This is the one that changed my life. You remember, 5 years ago, I was selling RVs. I was not involved in the media at all. I was selling RVs. And then got to know my mentor, Michael Berry, big conservative talk show host, obviously here in Houston and multiple places. He's nationally syndicated too. And he would give me advice and he would mentor me along. And when he was encouraging me to make a shot at a media career, so he thought I could do it, he gave me a piece of advice that is the reason I'm sitting here. And that is this. You never know who's listening. You never know who's listening. Because when I quit my job as a sales manager at an RV dealership, I was putting out stupid little YouTube videos that would get 100 views. And then when it moved, quote, past that, I had a one-hour radio show at 7 o'clock at night on the great KPRC in Houston. That's where I started. 1 hour, 7 o'clock at night. Now, if you were to, I wasn't allowed to by Michael Berry for a while, but eventually, 6 months, a year into it, we decided, well, let's take a phone call, see if anything happens. You ask for phone calls or put out a request for one, maybe one or two, and it's just the same dude. Some dude, yeah, Chris said on a good night, it's true. Chris remembered those days. Now, if I never do it. But if I open up the phone lines for any reason, they just fill up right away. We have to start hanging up on people once I'm done, so they start filling up right away. So when you're in that situation, you have what you consider to be a smaller show or a small podcast. No one's downloading it, or a small YouTube channel or something like that. You can easily lull yourself into the thinking, well, no one's listening anyway. Once it gets bigger, I'll really put it up. That is one thing that he told me and a piece of advice I followed to the letter. We showed up. Even when in the very beginning, And we acted like every show was freaking Rush Limbaugh's show. For even if it, when it was just an hour, I acted like it was the biggest show in the United States of America. That's what we acted like every single show. And that's why I'm here. That's why I ended up getting picked up by the First TV, because they were listening. Apparently they were listening to hundreds of radio shows across the country, local shows, and heard mine and thought, oh, that's special. That's different. Snap me up. It's why I'm currently sitting here on the great Premier Networks, which I can't even believe, the biggest national syndication company in the world, because they were listening too when the show was still very small and I didn't know anyone else was. The president of Premier, I don't know if I can say her name, so I'm not going to. She'd probably get mad at me. And she wouldn't, but I'm not going to bother with that. But this is the person, every human being who does what I do for a living, they're sending her an audio sample. Hey, just listen. Please hear me. Please listen. Just listen. I'm really good. She was listening to my show when it was a tiny show. I had no idea. You never know who's listening. So when you sit down, I don't care if it's 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. in some tiny town in rural America, you act like the most important people in the industry are listening, because they just might be. All right? All right. Now, here's a bit of news that might be good before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. You see, West Virginia has a Republican governor. His name is Jim Justice. Yes, a Republican governor with a sweet name, by the way. And he is all of a sudden floating out there that he is seriously considering running for president against Joe Manchin. Remember, against Joe Manchin in West Virginia. Joe Manchin, the guy who famously has held off Republican challengers, acting like he's just one of these blue dog Democrats, just very middle of the road. And then that moron voted for essentially the Green New Deal, opening himself up in a now very red state. West Virginia's very red. Thank you, Barack Obama. Very red because of the Democrat policies on coal. Boy, it would be a real nice win to beat Joe Manchin in West Virginia. I'll tell you that much. That's awesome. That's freaking awesome. All right. I owe you more Ask Dr. Jesse emails. You know what you owe me? Nothing. I'm just going to read Ask Dr. Jesse emails. Oh, I should tell you this, though. Your cell phone company probably sucks. I know we don't like to think about that. We don't like to think. I know I don't. I don't like to think about the various ways that I'm still financially supporting my enemies, but I know I am. I know I am. Go buy a shirt somewhere, and then you find out, oh, great. It was not only made by the communists, it's pushed by a company that was all in all the endless Sodom and Gomorrah stuff. Oh, great. So I just funded all that. I still do it all the time. I'm not judging you. But, man, your cell phone company is a real easy one to stop doing that with. All you have to do is switch to Pure Talk. And we're talking 10 minutes of your time on the phone, and you're on the phone with an American who's pleasant and speaks English. And when you switch from Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile, you're taking money out of the mouths of the communists and you're giving it to a company that shares your values, and a company that's going to charge you like half. I pay half of what I paid before. Plus, when you dial #250 and say, Jesse, you save an additional 50% off your first month. Man, why wouldn't you switch? Switch. Today's the day. This is the weekend. Today is the day you stop funding communism with your cell money. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That's all it takes. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. All right. Jesse, someone wants to know what I think should be done about Mexico. Oh, man, am I going to offend a lot of people with that. This guy, though, says, Jesse Grande, I'm a 46-year-old unmarried man with no kids. I've heard the conservative call to procreate and would like to answer. However, in order to have kids of my own, I need to marry a younger woman. How big of an age difference is acceptable? I'm concerned with a cultural divide with too young of a woman will doom the relationship. A midlife crisis bride is a little more serious than a midlife crisis car. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? We'll talk about that next.
Well,
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can download the whole show. They podcast every show when it's done on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. On iTunes, don't forget to leave a 5-star rating in a review talking about how handsome I am. You do that after you subscribe. I still can't get over this little soundbite from Moderna's CEO.
We have now in a clinic a super exciting program when we inject mRNA in people's heart after a heart attack to grow back new blood vessels to help revascularize the heart. So it's a bit like science fiction medicine, but that's what is really exciting to me.
But the other side of this is that right now, Moderna, though it has this pipeline, has one commercial product, and that's the Spikevax. That's the actual COVID vaccination. So that's the irony of COVID, is it really has in some ways allowed you to go and develop these other areas because of the revenues that came through the door.
You're 100% right.
Boy, that is, what do you call it? The irony of COVID. Operation Warp Speed, one gigantic financial handout to Big Pharma, freeing them of liability so they can push this on everyone. But don't worry, now Moderna has developed a second product, something for people with heart problems. Huh. And which is odd because there are now so many more people with heart problems. That's really good of them. Anyway, Jesse Grande. I'm a 46-year-old unmarried man with no kids. I've heard the conservative call to procreate and would like to answer. However, in order to have kids of my own, I need to marry a younger woman. How big of an age difference is acceptable? I'm concerned the cultural divide with too young of a woman will doom the relationship. A midlife crisis bride is more serious than a midlife crisis car. Okay. Now, one, let me get this out of the way first. You don't necessarily have to go cradle shopping out there. You can find a woman. If you've got a woman who's close to your age, you know that there's nothing more blessed you can do for somebody than adopt, right? These adoptive parents, these parents who adopt kids, they are saints. You are taking a child out of a situation where they are very likely heading down a rough, rough road of life, and you're snatching them out of that and giving them a loving home. I have many regrets in life because I have screwed up so much of my life and I've made so many mistakes. One of my biggest regrets is I wished, even though we have two wonderful, healthy boys, I'm glad, I wished we had thrown ourselves into adopting a child or two. I feel like that's something I should have done and I didn't do. And I have a million excuses why I did. No, we were worried about the money. There is no excuse. There's no excuse. It's something I wish that I had done. So maybe consider that. I don't necessarily think that your sales pitch should be, I'm looking for someone to breed with, although I do support that 100%. You know, fellas, as I have told you before, ignore everything you hear out there today. Times haven't changed. You really want to be a rebel? You really want to fight for your country? There's nothing better you can do for this country than finding yourself a dime, putting a ring on her finger, marrying her, and then go make a bunch of babies with her. You might just end up having a good time and a good life. All right? Find a dime, marry her, make a bunch of babies with her. All right? Now, that said, let's answer the question in a way that's not chicken. You're 46. How young is too young? Well, first of all, let's go ahead and write off the late teens, early 20s women. Not necessarily because of the creepiness of the age range. There are some women, I'm assuming, in that age range that are relatively mature enough, but I want you to write them off for your own sake because they're so daggone annoying. They're just way too annoying at that age. There's no way, at 46, I know when I'm at 41, And I would never have the patience for that. There's no way you have the patience for that at 46. So just go ahead and rip, early 20s, gone. Way too annoying. I think 30 and above. I think she hits 30 and above, you're fine. And you say it's too late to have kids. Man, these dimes are having kids out there these days at 40, 45. And I understand, I am aware that biologically people haven't changed, that it's healthier for women to have them the younger they are. You know, you ideally, body-wise, you want to be having women, or you want to be having women, you want to be having kids when you're 20, 25, when you're a woman. I understand that that's the way God made us, and you're more fertile then. And I understand all that. I'm not dogging on that. But buddy, you can marry a 30-year-old dime, and she'll start having babies with you if that's what she wants. And don't worry about that. And don't let anybody. Here's something you shouldn't do. You shouldn't ever let peer pressure of friends and family keep you away from that dime if you like her. We peer pressured my buddy in the Marines. I told you this before. We peer pressured him out of marrying somebody, out of not marrying somebody he should have married. He was my buddy who's going to go unnamed, but we were in Thailand, and my buddy, and he's funny, and I love him, bless his heart, but he's one of the ugliest people I've ever seen in my entire life. What, Chris? I'm being nice. He's one of the ugliest people I've ever seen. And for some reason, I guess it's, I don't know, nervousness or whatever, he could not talk to women. He was so awkward. And I would try for him. I'm out there trying. I'm introducing him. Hey, buddy, let's go. But crack a joke. Come on. We need you. And he would just fall apart when he got in the presence of anybody. But he got to Thailand. It's a third world country. He's the belle of the ball over there. And he found some girl, and he fell in love, and she fell in love with him. And we just rode him to no end about going to Thailand and picking up the first girl he saw. And he ended up leaving her there. Man, there's no way that guy's married now. There's no way. It never happened for him at all. He's probably got 10 dogs. All right? So don't ever let anyone peer pressure you like we did. Hola, Dr. Oracle. Listening to Brandon Darby this week. We had Darby on Monday. Brandon Darby, in case you didn't know, he's our cartel expert. You know, I don't have a lot of guests on. I think he was our only one this week. He's our cartel expert. He has been to Mexico in the trunk of a car cultivating sources. This guy knows Mexico. He was on Monday. If you want to go get the skinny on what's going on in Mexico, why there's a war zone going on. Anyway, what would Emperor Jesse do about Mexico? I believe 100% no American blood should be spilled to police, fight corrupt foreign dumps on the other side of the world like Ukraine or Afghanistan. But Mexico is a different beast. It's a giant failed state on our border, controlled by narco-terrorists with seemingly unlimited funds and advanced weaponry. The cartels control huge sections of our border, and the Mexican government, 100,000 Americans a year die from Chinese fentanyl coming, so on and so forth. Do we need to start drone striking cartel targets, special forces, armored units, or just keep ignoring it like most Americans are doing? We can't afford any of this. And of course, you break it, you bought it applies like Iraq. What a mess. And his name is Andy. Well, I guess it's time to bring it up again. The ultimate offense. This might be, of all the things I say that offend people, this might be number one. It's way up on the list, but it's still true. I get a lot of people saying that's crazy. You're a nut job. You're a bloodthirsty monster. You're offended. But I don't ever seem to get anybody saying you're wrong or that wouldn't work, because I'm not wrong. It would work. I'll tell you my idea in just a moment. Before I tell you my idea, I'm going to tell you this really quickly. Your dog food is dead food. And I don't expect you to be made of money and to start making your dog a steak dinner every single night, but dog food's dead food. I've told you about my dog, Fred, a million times, how he used to puke all the freaking time. We'd switch food and switch food and switch food, and then he would get these horrible ear infections we'd have to take him to the vet, and then he'd have to put this stinky ear medicine in his ear, and he'd walk around the house trying to flap his ears all. It was really honestly, I don't want to say more trouble than he's worth, but man, it was a burden for a while taking care of Fred. So thank you, Rough Greens. Thank you. A supplement, not new food, a supplement. We simply pour some Rough Greens on his food every morning. Every breakfast, we pour Rough Greens on it. He loves it, scarfs it right up. minerals, vitamins, probiotics, omega oils. He's not had an ear infection since. He hasn't thrown up since. This stuff, I didn't even know what all Dr. Dennis Black, former Green Beret, by the way, has put in this stuff, but it's amazing. Ruff Greens. R-U-F-F. RuffGreens.com/Jesse gets you a free trial bag. All you pay for is the shipping. You don't have to take my word for it. Go get a free bag. RuffGreens.com/Jesse. Get a free bag for your puppy, all right? Well, your dog. I call them all puppies. Now, what's the offensive thing I think should be done about Mexico? I'll tell you in a second.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show during the show. That's fine. Your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. You can email those to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I have been informed that I teased a ghost story like three times this week, and I never once got to it. I need to clarify that one of those is most definitely Chris's fault because I told Chris to remind me. No, you didn't remind me, Chris. Not at the time. No, you didn't. Don't try to lie now. I know you wrote it in the notes, but the notes didn't get to me, Chris. Now, did they? I know they didn't get to me. Anyway, I swear on everything. Once I tell a little history story and answer this question about Mexico, I'm going to tell you my ghost story. All right? I will tell you the ghost story before this show ends, or I will retire from radio. I am that committed. I feel that bad about being so absent-minded that I've teased it two or three times and never got to it. I'm about to tell it to you, but I got to do some little history first because we're asking about Mexico. Before I do any of that, let me do this really quickly. I want you to, as much as humanly possible, I'm speaking to myself here really more than anything, as financial times get difficult, I want you to focus on giving back more. And again, I'm speaking to you, Jesse. I'm speaking to myself here. I tend to, because I'm accused of being cheap, which is hilarious when it comes from people like Chris, but we tend to be careful with our money. And when times get tighter and the dollar isn't going as far, we tend to do what is human nature, and we tend to shrivel up, to shrink up. Let's turtle up. Well, let's save every dime. That's the wrong thing to do. Give whatever you can. However, I want to caution you about something. You remember I have worked in the nonprofit industry. I worked there for a year. After I got done losing two congressional races, I moved to D.C. and worked in that industry. So I got to see behind the scenes of the puppet show. I saw the strings, okay? I saw the finances. You need to be very, very, very careful about where you give your money. But the cause sounds good. Oh, I know. That's how they get you. Sounds really good. We're going to save deformed puppies. I love puppies. And then you dig into Deformed Puppy LLC and find out the CEO makes $1 million a year and about 10 cents of every dollar you give ever gets to a puppy. Do me a favor. I tell you about preborn all the time. I'm not going to go into it again tonight about them offering women free ultrasounds, saving babies' lives. I want you to do me a favor tonight. I want you to go look up preborn. I don't want you to take my word for it. Assume I'm a liar. I want you to go look at the charity rating sites and look up preborn. When I tell you your $28 goes to save a baby's life, your $28 goes to save a baby's life. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and go save a baby's life tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse. Or dial #250 and say baby if that's easier, all right? Sponsored by Preborn. Now, the question was, what should be done about Mexico? Guy wasn't interested in spilling American blood overseas, but what do you do about a failed state next door? And I thought it would be a good time right about now to bring up history. Since you enjoy history, do you know what the Gallic Wars were? I won't spend hours on it, although I could, but here's what you should know. There was probably the most talented human being who ever walked the planet besides Jesus before Chris's people killed him, the most talented people probably who ever walked the planet, a talented person, is Julius Caesar. In case you all you know him as is a general or a guy who got assassinated, do more reading about Julius Caesar. His IQ had to be the greatest of all time. The guy was not only bold and brash and hilarious, the guy was just a super genius. He just was. And he was a very ambitious person. And eventually, he starts what he called a defensive war against Gaul. You see, there was Rome, and then up north of Rome is Gaul. France, right? Just consider it France. There was France. And France, before it became a country full of snobby people and women with armpit hair, France was like every other country on the planet. Tribal. It's just a bunch of tribal people. The Gauls. Celts, whatever. Basically the same type of people. I'm going to get emails saying that's different, but you know, you get the idea. If you were a general in Rome, you wanted to leave on a military campaign to go conquer things because it, one, gave you a huge amount of glory and power, and it gave you a huge amount of money. Gaul was an untapped resource back then. So Caesar launched what was called the Gallic Wars. That was Caesar's attempted takeover of Gaul. I shouldn't say attempted because he ended up winning in the end. But he goes into this huge tribal land of Gaul, France, and there are many, many tribes who are on our side, on the Roman side, and many tribes were rebellious. And many of the rebellious tribes fought on their own. They eventually joined together to fight, but it was not like a 5-month thing. This took a long time for him to kill enough Gauls and do it. And it's really an incredible story of military combat and everything, a generalship and logistics. It's a really incredible story. But Caesar had an issue came up. Many issues came up during the Gallic Wars, but this thing was a big, big problem. And here's what it was. While Caesar was trying to pacify Gaul, that's such a nice way to put it, isn't it, Chris? I swear this is going to come back to Mexico in a minute. While Caesar was trying to pacify Gaul, he's working on just securing things around there, meaning murdering a million people, but he's just working on securing things around there. Those daggone Germans started getting in the way. You see, if you pull up a little map, I know you're probably not looking at one right now, but if you're looking at a map of Germany and France, you're over there in that part of Europe, what you're going to notice is there's this river running out there, this river called the Rhine. The Rhine was considered a boundary between Gaul and the Germanic tribes. The Germanic tribes, while the Gallic ones were very fierce and things like that and feared, the Germanic tribes, it's actually really cool when you read about it, were thought to be flat out frightening. The soldiers were huge, apparently. If you read the Roman accounts of them, they were just all, they all sound like they're 7 feet tall with bleach blonde hair, and they're just nasty, nasty, nasty fighters. Previously in Rome, now this was a long time before this, but prior to this in Rome, these Germanic tribes had come up with these huge couple hundred thousand man armies and started smashing through Roman armies, which hadn't been done. So already you were worried about the Germanic tribes. Okay, they're big and they're scary and they've already defeated Romans in the past. And here we are, we're just trying to pacify France, and these daggone Germanic tribes, all of a sudden, as they're wont to do, were very warlike people, they started making problems for Caesar. What were they doing? They started getting in boats routinely, and they would cross the Rhine. They would cross the Rhine and start doing raids on the Gallic, on the French side of the river. Why does that create problems for Caesar? Well, if you're Caesar and you've just pacified a tribe, or a tribe has come over to your side, hey, Julius, we love you, we're on your side. You know what? You have to give them something back. If you're Julius Caesar, you say, great, thanks, appreciate it. I'm going to need some help, but hey, you also have the protection of Caesar. You are now under Caesar's protection. Now you don't have to worry about anything. Except when some Germans come in and murder everybody and carry your women off, creates a problem for Caesar. So what did he do? you're going to hear the Kelly plan from Mexico. Next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.